Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
PD is. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. NYPD is canceling this month's class of police officers. It's one of several extreme measures that Mayor Michael Bloomberg has asked for to steer New York City through the economic slowdown that he says is just beginning. The class was scheduled to begin this month with more than 1,000 police cadets. Now the city will go without those officers until at least the next class, which should begin in July. That brings the headcount of the nation's largest police department to 34,771. That's down about 3,000 officers. And this comes after last year's announcement that NYPD would not fill empty police slots, 1,000 or so. The total NYPD headcount is the lowest it has been in years. Well, joining me now to discuss the changes is Eugene O'Donnell. He is a professor of law and political science at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. He is also a former police officer. So let's start with the cadet class, or I should say no cadet class. It's a little bit alarming. Is this a first as far as you know?
Well, the plan was to have a much larger class and to have more classes, and so it's a disturbing piece of news. It comes on top of the reality that the department's already shrunk from a high of 40,000 officers down to what some are suggesting might be as small a department as 32,000. And what makes this a concern is that we've been down this road before in not investing in the police department. We did that in the 70s and the 80s, and we paid an enormous price, and it took years to turn that around. And 40,000 was sort of seen as the number by the legislature when it enacted the Safe Streets, Safe Cities program that would give the department the kind of resources that it would need to keep the city safe. And it was really seen as almost more than enough cops. So 32,000 is a number that now should be of great concern.
Yeah, our estimates, we were at 41,000 when Ray Kelly came back on as police chief. That was shortly after 9/11. And even the conservative estimate, Eugene, is that we're at 34,000 plus, about 34,771. So that would be right there a difference of 6,000 officers. You referenced the last time we went down this road. Give some examples of where that road took us and why that was so very problematic in the 70s and 80s.
Sure. In the 70s, it was about layoffs. In the 80s, it was about not making investments. And the police department in New York City was sort of on life support. And we paid a price when the crack epidemic hit the city. In the mid-80s, we saw an astronomical rise in violent crime and property crime, and the city really got an international black eye as a sort of a no-go area. People didn't want to come. It affected tourism. It affected investment. It affected real estate. So it would be a very big mistake for us to repeat that. And it's not like there aren't other cities in America today that have those problems. Some of your listeners probably travel around the country, and they do see places where crime and disorder is rampant, and the police don't seem to be particularly effective at responding to that. New York City Police Department now is a worldwide model. If you go to police headquarters, you'll see world visitors from around the globe coming to see the New York miracle, this dramatic turnaround where we've had almost an 80% reduction in some areas of crime. So hopefully we don't risk that and fall backwards, because if we do, it will take a very long time to right that. And again, some cities have struggled to do what New York City has been able to do.
Yeah, and even without traveling, our listenership goes beyond the New York City borders, and there are examples within our reach of what you're talking about, Eugene. At the same time, it is the largest police force in the country, NYPD, even with these cuts, and Ray Kelly has an unbroken record of lowering crime rates from year to year.
He does. I don't think there should be panic, and you shouldn't be unrealistic. The city's navigating through some difficult times. I think the concern that you have to have is certainly if you're an outer borough resident, if you live in one of the four boroughs outside of Manhattan in a working class or middle class neighborhood, those are the places that tend to lose the cops early. So you could start to see response times increasing, and you could start to see fewer cops out there and less enforcement. And it's not just for crime that we should be concerned. Of course, the police help to keep the city moving in terms of traffic, school safety, subway safety, noise complaints. They do it all. So it's not necessarily just in terms of uniform crime report crime that we should be concerned. It's the millions of calls and the interactions they have that sort of keep New York a pretty good place to live.
Well, you're also, in addition to being a professor of law at John Jay, a professor of police science, and it sounds as though you think some neighborhoods will be more affected than others. Will New Yorkers begin to actually see this difference? Have they already? And if so, where?
They have. Some of it is seeable. Some of it's not so seeable. It will, for example, make training a lot more difficult. It'll make it a lot less happy a workplace for the cops, and that might have a knock-on effect in service delivery. But absolutely, for those people that live outside of Manhattan, Manhattan will do all right. It almost always does all right. And certainly after 9/11, it's priority one. But the places that will get hardest hit are likely to be those outer borough precincts where there isn't a lot of crime. If there's a lot of crime, the police department will send officers there. But the stripping will take place in the transit districts, the housing areas, and the police precincts that don't have a tremendous amount of crime. And that will affect things like cops on patrol, the visibility of cops out there, foot patrol, and also response times, which will go up. In some parts of the city, response times for things like crimes in progress are probably realistically in the 9 to 10 minute period. That's a lot of time to wait if there's somebody, you know, on your fire escape or trying to get into your house.
Yeah, yeah, it's an eternity indeed, or would seem like one. Now, Commissioner Kelly has said that reducing the headcount, and including the cutting of this cadet class, makes sense because the department is still having difficulty hiring new officers, difficulty with recruiting. And I really would like your take on that as someone who teaches this subject. It seems to me there would always be young men and women who would be interested in joining the force.
Well, one of the issues was the salary. That's sort of been corrected. Now there's talk about tinkering with the pension. That's not going to help. They're talking about making it a less attractive pension. But the reality is I think a lot of young people today don't see police work as particularly satisfying career. I think, you know, the criticism, the drumbeat of criticism, and some of it's obviously fair, of the police department does turn people off. They say, why should I, you know, dedicate a couple of decades of my life to an organization where no matter what I do, I'm going to be second-guessed and criticized? And that absolutely has an effect.
What do rookies make now while they're at the academy, at least?
Well, we're looking at probably a $40,000 starting salary, which eventually is going to go up. It goes up significantly within a five-year period to about double that. And a working street cop in the next few years is probably going to make $90,000 or $100,000. So that is a decent wage. It is a dramatic turnaround. There was a period of time where the salary for entry-level officers was actually cut to $25,000, which was horrendous. That's now been corrected.
My name is Jamie Floyd. I'm in for Brian Lehrer, and joining me now is Eugene O'Donnell. He's a professor of law and police science at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. We're talking about cuts to the NYPD, including the cut of this January's cadet class, which was to have started this month. It will not begin, and new cadets may join the force in July if the next class goes forward. Eugene, doesn't this mean more cops simply working overtime? It seems to me that officers who get about $58 per hour working overtime are going to take that opportunity, and why not just put a rookie on the street and it'll all even out in the end?
Well, again, if the department shuts down and you don't hire it, that really has a very bad impact on the cops. It reduces their promotional opportunities, their transfer opportunities, the opportunities to get off time off, vacation picks, which might not sound like it's a public concern, but it is a public concern because ultimately it makes the workforce that much less happy as a place to be. So anybody who knows policing knows that there's a tremendous excitement when these classes are hired. It creates a real energy level in the department, and it really keeps the job alive and ticking. And we had a period of time where there was no hiring for years in NYPD in the 70s, and anybody who was around in those days could tell you it was a very sad place to be and not a very productive or model organization.
Is there any truth to the notion that when the economy turns downward, the level of crime goes up, or is that just urban mythology?
Yeah, I think that the people who research this for a living will tell you that it's very, very hard to say definitively where crime is going to go on the basis of the economy. That's a hard thing to guarantee. It shouldn't just be, this conversation shouldn't just be driven with crime, because it's a little misleading in the sense that the cops do mostly service work and mostly responding to calls and mostly sort of public order work. It's not really about murder and mayhem exclusively, although we had lots of that when we didn't invest it the last time. But it's about the millions and millions of calls the cops get every year to service and protect people, not from violent crime, just from the ordinary things that happen in an urban environment. We have, you know, 9-10 million people passing through every day.
And give us a sense, if you would, for our listeners, what that service work entails specifically. Because you're right, I think people think of the police department and we always go to the worst case scenario. Some horrible crime is committed or someone's trying to break into your apartment. But there are many ways in which perhaps we take police officers for granted for the services that they provide. Give us a sense of what those are and how New Yorkers may begin to see a difference.
Well, you know, traffic enforcement, quality of life enforcement issue, almost 500,000 quality of life tickets a year. That's down, by the way, from about 700,000 a few years ago. This is for the kinds of minor offenses that are believed to be the precursors, if you will, to more serious crime. The emergency service unit alone, very relatively smaller part of the organization, handles 90,000 calls for emotionally disturbed people every year. Noise complaints, anybody who lives in the city knows that noise is a very hot issue, particularly in some communities, and sometimes violence can ensue and obviously diminished quality of life can ensue if that's not addressed. Things like blocked driveways and all the disputes that people get into and disagreements that they get into, it's quite a laundry list of millions of calls that the cops do every year.
It is a service indeed. I guess my last question, unfortunately, has to be whether you think we can anticipate any further cuts for NYPD, especially if, as Mayor Bloomberg says, this is only the beginning of the economic downturn.
Well, they certainly have the best advocate you can get in Commissioner Kelly, who will absolutely, I'm sure, go to the mat to try to make sure that doesn't happen. But that said, lots of other, you know, sacrosanct services, education, homeless services, things like that are being reduced. So the police department has to expect that the likelihood in the future, certainly the foreseeable future, is less, not more.
Well, Eugene O'Donnell, we thank you so much for being with us. My guest has been Eugene O'Donnell. He's a professor of law and political science at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Coming up next, you're going to meet some of the smartest kids in New York City. So you want to stick around for that. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer.